Our scripture reading today is Psalms 119, 68, and Mark 10, 13, 16. You are good. What you do is good. Teach me your decrees. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them.
Good morning, good morning. I am delighted to be here with you. I'm even more delighted after the little harrowing experience I had trying to get here. But see, God is good. He watches over us. So I'm delighted for each of you. This morning, we are going to talk about the title is Blessed and a Blessing. Blessed and a Blessing. How many of you believe that you are, in fact, blessed in some way? Oh, look, we all got up this morning. What a blessing. We made it here. What a blessing. We live in warm homes and have food to eat. That's a blessing. The blessings are abundant, and sometimes we don't take time to pause and think about the many, many blessings that we have. You know, I have lived out, my dad was a military, so I've lived outside of the country. And then since that, as part of my Christian service, I love to do mission trips. So I've gone to some places, where it is clear that we live a blessed life. I was serving, building an orphanage and a child welfare center in Chile. And we went to church on that Sunday. And let me tell you, they had a little church with a tin roof, and it was raining that day. It was raining on the outside. It was raining a little on the inside. They had buckets. But every once in a while, the buckets didn't catch everything. The way they had their electrical would have never passed. I was like, there was bundles of water. We don't see these things. But because we were there for service, the thing that was so amazing to me was the little kids were so happy because they were going to do a church dinner afterwards. And I was like, okay, because, you know, we do church. Y'all going to have a brunch in a couple of weeks. We not uncommon, right? But they don't do that there. And because they have guests, they were having chicken. And I said, you know, chicken. And someone had to explain to me that most of the families that were there with us were not of means. And they didn't eat meat. They rarely ate meat. And I thought, oh my goodness. I felt in my heart so convicted, because if I would have had time, I probably would have had a sausage biscuit on the way, but I didn't, because it was snowy. And I was like, don't get distracted by a sausage biscuit. We are blessed in so many ways. So I want to start by reading the scripture out of Mark 12. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Can you do that? Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than this. So you have to look at your neighbor and think about how you love. Now, if you live with your neighbor that's sitting next to you, that's a given. But look around and know that you have to love your neighbor as yourself. What do we understand from this scripture? Well, I think there's a couple of parts. That first part is our focus to God. And we're coming up on Easter Sunday, and even the cross bears witness to what I'm about to say. Love the God with all your heart. And that main center post points us individual to God. And then the cross, the horizontal part, to our neighbors, to our neighbors. What a blessing. What a blessing it is to have a God that loves us 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He loves us and always has thoughts of us, not as a congregation, not as a conglomerate, but individual. He's thinking about you and you and you and me all at the same time and loving each one. He wants relationship and for us to be committed to him. God's blessing is the ultimate good that we as his disciples should long for. Oh, we've got requests. We want him to bless our homes and our health and give us job security and give us good relationships at church and even give us a new pastor. Is that right? We want him to bless. But even more than those things, we want him to bless with himself, with his presence, with his forgiveness, with his love, and with his guidance. We all want the blessings of God. And when we live in relationship with him, God does bless us. Why? Why does he bless us, you may ask? Because it's who he is. The blessing is not because it's something that he does. It is his very nature. His character is to bless us. And we know that through scripture. Psalm 119 verse 68 says, "You are good and you do good." So thankful for that. You are good. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you." We said that he's thinking about us all the time. And those plans are for your good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God is truly good. We know that his character is good, and we know that he gives good gifts. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory." I'm so thankful that he meets our needs out of his abundance. Because I'm going to be honest. If I had to meet my needs sometimes according to my checkbook, I'm just saying, might be iffy. But he has abundance. He doesn't run out. He is God, the creator, the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and all things in between. We're talking about the blessings of God. Did you know that the word bless, blessed, or blessing is mentioned over 400 times in the Bible? I think he wants us to take that message in. So the definition of a blessing is God's favor and his goodness bestowed on his people. You can write in the end of that your name. Your goodness and your bestowed on me. Your goodness and your favor bestowed on Evel, on Patty, on whatever your name is. Your goodness bestowed on us. He's a God that blesses. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, and God is able, to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So we know that the blessing that God does bless, but it's not just so that we can have a bigger home, a nicer car, a fatter savings account. None of those things are bad, but there's more. There's more. God wants us, he wants to bless us so that we can bless others. If you can imagine a pitcher half filled of water and God keeps pouring in and pouring in. And as he pours, it's not half full. It's three quarters full. And then it's at the very top, but he doesn't stop. He continues to bless. And that's where we get into the overflow. The overflow. We have more than enough. And we can be a blessing to others. Oh, he blesses in so many different ways. And the blessings that flow from God, they should never stop. They should come to us and flow through us. Proverbs 11, verse 10, the first part of that says, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. Why is the city rejoicing? Because when the people of God are blessed, then they're in the position to help the city, to help widows and orphans, just like we heard about that adoption, to help the hurting, the downtrodden, those that can't do for themselves. We are in a position to pour into them. Matthew 5 verse 7 from the Beatitudes. So you will recognize this one. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. The Christian faith proves to be a way bigger than just me. Just you. It's thinking of others. 2 Corinthians 9:11. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in worship, acknowledgement, and praise to God. See, when we bless others, they know that it's God that's doing it through us. Why? Because most of us, in our basic human nature, is it to give? Is it to give abundantly and extravagantly? Not until God does a work in you, or unless he created you, one of his precious ones that are generous by nature, who see the needs even before they're spoken. Well, you know that I'm from Child Saving Institute. And I have news for you. We are embarking on yet another expansion of the building because the needs continue to grow. So our leader, our CEO said, we're going to double it up. We're doubling the space of the agency. Remember I told you last time that I was here that there's such a need for therapists that when people call in crisis that they wait two to three months before they can get in for the initial. CSI is going to do our part. Think about it. More services, more ways to bless others, being the help that this community needs for children and families. Now, we served in 2022 almost 3,000 clients, 2,865 to be exact, almost. We're going to break that 3,000 mark sometime soon. And I'm thankful for each of those children and families that we are able to help. It included 111 kids in foster care, 57 youth in independent living, 959 children came through our triage center, which are those children that were removed because of abuse and neglect. Those were those immediate police pickups and crisis intervention. 10 adoptive homes. We served lots and lots of children and family. And the implication isn't just the ones, the immediate ones that we help. Because if we help a child in therapy who's part of a greater family, haven't we helped that entire family? And if we help the family, haven't we helped the school? And haven't we helped the community? I'm telling you, we are blessed to be a blessing to others. So I wanted to end in this way. Normally I tell a story about a child, but today I'm going to change it up. I'm going to tell you two stories from an adult perspective. I went into a home to do a home study on a grandmother. She had gotten two grandchildren. She still had a teen that hadn't gone to independence, was still in finishing up school, but he was almost out. And then her daughter unexpectedly passed away of an ongoing chronic illness that she had. It was heartbreaking. And even though this lady, I'm telling you, modest means. When I go down low like that, that tells you modest means. Barely making it to feed herself and the child that was already in her home. But of course she's a grandma. Of course she took those children in. And so we were trying to do a home study so that she could legally adopt them because those children had lots of fears. And it was understandable. Their mother died unexpectedly. She was barely, 35 years old, young. And they were afraid for their future. So I go in, I'm asking all the questions that I have to ask as a social worker. And part of that work, because these kids were older, is to talk to the kids. So I'm talking to them individually. And all of a sudden, I see a switch in one of the eyes. This young man begins to shake and his eyes water up. That's not so. Young men of his age don't do that. So I asked him, what's going on? And he said, you can't move me. You can't move me. Grandma is the only somebody that loves me. And I said, baby, I am not here to move you. I am not. Please understand. I have to ask these questions. I have to make sure that you're safe. I have to make sure that you have what you need. I have to make sure that you want to be here, but I am not here to move you. I am to help you get to the expected end. His brother, who wasn't in the room, ran down the stairs because he heard what was going on. And he heard the part about moving, and he said, we're moving. I said, no, we're not moving. We're repairing it so you don't have to move again. They didn't trust me. And I get it. I'm in and out. So I looked to the grandmother. I said, can you help me? She said, she's fine. She's helping us so that we're always part of a family. Those boys are now, we're waiting on their court date so it can be final. Because for over a year and a half, they have felt like they could move at any time to be snatched from what they see as the only, in his words, somebody that loves him. I think that when we bless others, when we help others, we help our community. I'm so excited. And on their adoption day, I will applaud because these children are well loved. They don't have a lot of extras. Grandma walks to work because they don't have a vehicle. They don't have a computer in their home. They get the computers from their school to use their laptop. They may be a very modest means, but it's working and they are loved. So how does it impact people in the community? About a little over a week ago, one of my coworkers said to me, were you here when Christina worked here? I was like, I've been there 39 years. I was there when Moses worked here. I said, of course, I know Christina. She was a delightful. She said, and this worker said to me, I don't know if you knew, but I was in foster care for 18 months when I was about 10. And she was my worker. And she did great things for me. And we had that moment. You see, a child who was in a hard place, a difficult place, was in the system, but came out. That wasn't the end of the story. Now working to help other children. Now, I'm sad to report Friday, this past Friday was her last day at CSI, but I'm happy to report this. She's going to Project Harmony to help them with other children. Those children who have been sex trafficked. She feels that call. A child in the system. The end of the story is not written for these kids because we can help change the trajectory of where they're going. I'm going to end with this. I know you said, you always say that. And yet, I was reading about the Cornhusker, Mr. Coleman. Any of you familiar with this story? It was featured on CBS News, so it went national. A young man on the Husker team who was in foster care for a good portion of his life, adopted later as a teen into a home. But him and his mother were having a discussion because he was so self-focused. And I think in his mind, he had never had enough. And now that he was living, he was focused on it coming in. So they had a discussion. She said, can you do anything for anybody else? I want you to start thinking about others. And he was like, oh no, what should I do? You know, teen. So she listed off one thing. She listed off two things. She got to 50 things and none of them seemed to resonate with this talk. I don't think I could do that. No, no, not that. She was so frustrated. She said, finally, can you, we're going to start with this. Can you hold the door for one person at church on Sunday? One person. He said, I'll do that. So he held the door. And the next week he held the door for lots of people and then everybody. And then he graduated from high school and became a Husker. And now this thing about blessing others is ingrained. Look it up. I believe his name is Coleman. A deli shop in Lincoln named the sandwich for him, and the proceeds go to help other children in foster care. I'm telling you, we are blessed to be a blessing to others. So, however it is that you bless others, keep doing it. If you bless your neighbor, some of you are good at writing cards of encouragement to the sick and to those for happy occasions as well, for those birthdays and anniversaries. Do that. Some of you make a casserole. Come to my house. Just joking. It's about others. It's got to keep remembering that. It's about others. Blessing others. Okay. Bless them. Some of you do so many things here at church. Decorate. Fix the coffee that we're about to have. That's blessing others. Oh. So many ways, so many opportunities to bless because we are blessed. Embedded in the larger story of redemption is a principle we must not miss. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things in the lives of others. God bless you. And I mean that. God bless you. God bless you. May you live in overflow and be a blessing to others. Thank you so much.